thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
So the subtitle to this Word of God, fifth message, is Seeing What God Wants Me to See. So I want to look at Psalm 119 and verse 18 here. Psalm 119 and verse 18. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Now, I'd like for you to say that with me. You ready? Let's say it together. Open my eyes that I might see wondrous things from your law. Father, as we approach your word, we approach this message, Lord, my prayer is that exactly what the psalmist said. Lord, open our eyes. Lord, we need our eyes to be open. We need the ministry of your Holy Spirit to take place in this room now for these next moments as we open up your word, open up our heart to your word. Lord, that we might see its application, that it will speak to us. Something, oh God, that we need to hear today. In Jesus' name we pray. Let it be done. Okay. Now, notice this word law here. I want to point out something here. There are about seven other synonyms to the word of God. You have law, you have precepts, you have testimonies, you have statutes, you have commandments, decrees. Anytime you see any one of those words, it's talking about the word of God. So you can say, Lord, open up my ears that I may see wondrous things from your word. Okay, from your word. Now, there are three things that I want to give you that we learned from this particular verse. They're on your notes. They're going to come up on the screen. So try to follow along and also write them down, because I think it's the kind of message that you want to take these notes with you and rehearse them. Number one, there are wonderful things in the Word of God. There are wonderful things in the Word of God. Matter of fact, amazing things in the Word of God. Things that reveal the heart of God, things that talk about his ways, his dealings with mankind, which should be helpful to each and every one of us, the wonderful things of God. Now, I want to look at the word wonderful for a moment. This is a real key. I've never seen this before in the Word. There are wonderful things in the Word of God. It comes from a Hebrew word that means hard. Or it means things too high, too marvelous, or they're miraculous things. So the indication here is, Lord, there are some high things in the Word of God. There are things too high, and it makes sense, because look at Isaiah chapter 55. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." Somebody know that God doesn't think like we do all the time. You know, his thoughts are so much higher. Nor your ways are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now this book, the Bible, it is God's inspired word. I mean, it's God breathed these words. So what did he breathe? He breathed his thoughts. So these are the thoughts of God. Now, if the thoughts of God are higher than our thoughts, then that's what makes them you can't just understand it on the surface, I guess. They're wondrous things because they go deeper than we normally go. His ways are not our ways. And so the ways of God that are revealed in this word are different than our ways. Psalm 40 and verse 5 tells us there are many, say many. Many, O Lord God, are your wonderful works which you have done. They are more than can be numbered. Number two, if this be true, then we need God's help to understand these words, these things too high for the natural man to comprehend. These hard to understand things. Lord, we need your help to do that. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul understood this. I want to get you to get the feeling here. Paul is a pastor. He's a shepherd. He's an apostle. He was in the beginning. It was significant value to the whole body of Christ. So he knows that for us to get everything that we need to get from God's word, we need help. And here's what he prayed. He prayed this, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding, say that, eyes of your understanding, being enlightened, keep that in mind, we're going to come back to that word, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So Paul, knowing that we're going to need help, he prayed that prayer. He said, God, I pray for your people that their eyes would be open, their heart would be open. They would be enlightened to understand everything that you have for them. Eyes, understanding, heart. So what eyes? What both the psalmist and Paul, what eyes were they talking about? Not natural eyes. He wasn't praying for their natural eyes to be open. He was praying for their spiritual eyes to be open. Now listen, when you're born physically, we learn and we grow because of the five senses that we have. So there are five senses. They're hear, taste, touch, smell, feel. And everything that we learn through life is because somewhere along the line we heard it, we tasted it, we touched it, we smelled. It was a smell, it was a feeling that we had. But when you're born again, when you receive Christ as your Savior and you're born again, what takes place? There's a spiritual birth. And with that spiritual birth comes spiritual senses. Just like the physical has senses, the spirit man has senses. Hearing, tasting, touching, smelling, and feeling. You may have heard the scripture says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How about the woman who had the issue of blood? When she reached Jesus, she reached out and what? She touched. So it was a touch, but it went beyond just a physical touch. Something happened when she touched that hem of his garment. It was a spiritual thing that happened. I can't tell you how many times I've heard this. People said, listen, when I walked into the worship center, when I walked into the sanctuary, I just felt the presence of God. Well, that wasn't a physical thing. You feel it in your spirit. You experience this feeling. You can't put your hand on it. It's hard to explain it to someone else. It was a feeling that you had, but it was a spiritual feeling, one beyond the natural. See, we live in two worlds. We live in a physical world, and we live in a spiritual world. The physical world we can see, but the spiritual world we can't see unless we have help. You can't see into the spiritual world unless you have hope. That's why Paul in the psalmist said, what? Open their eyes, Lord. Or open my eyes, Lord. I need help. And it says, Paul says that open the eyes of your understanding, your heart, being enlightened. You remember that word enlightened here? Let me tell you what that word means. In the Greek, we get our word photo from it. So it's a Greek word where we derive photo from it, and photo, to brighten up. So Paul said, open the eyes of their heart to brighten up or illuminate, make to see or make manifest. Do you ever notice that when you were first born again, it was like a light bulb went on in your head? There was an illumination. And from the very beginning, from the very moment that you experienced that spiritual birth, that spiritual sense came alive, and you realize there's a difference between good and evil. You realize there's a difference between light and darkness. And not only was there a difference, you begin to realize, wow, man, I was living in that dark world. This is different. I'm living in this world filled with light. So from the very beginning, it begins to happen. But as you move on and you read God's word or you hear a message, how many of us have said that? I've never seen that before. I read that verse over and over, and it's the first time I saw it. Why? At that moment, you were enlightened, illuminated to the truth of that particular word. It happens all the time. Or how about this? That's exactly what I needed. Someone comes to you and gives you a scripture. Wow, that's exactly what I need. You might have heard that scripture a dozen times, but at that moment, at that time, you needed it. So God's Spirit enlightened that word, illuminated that word to your heart. So the third thing, that leads us to the third thing. We can only see these wonders by the work of the Holy Spirit. So how does God help us? It's through the work of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 says, the natural man, say natural man, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they're what? Spiritually discerned. So the natural man doesn't see those things. So their minds are, we need our minds enlightened or what? Illuminated. I put this down on my notes. The Holy Spirit is the illuminator. That'd make for a good movie. The Holy Spirit is the illuminator. Illumination is letting the Holy Spirit show me the meaning of God's word and how it applies to my life. So when you approach the word of God, it has to be with the idea that in the natural, you're not going to get anything from it. In the natural, it's going to be difficult. But if you depend on it, the Holy Spirit, he illuminates things to your heart. Yesterday, I just tell you this personal thing that happened to me yesterday. I got up in the morning fairly early, and I wanted to go right to my study and kind of go through my notes. I already had the notes done. I already had the PowerPoints done. But I just wanted to go through it again. But I didn't realize what was going to happen. I didn't leave my study till 3 in the afternoon. I just sat there. You know what was happening? And I didn't realize it till last service what God was doing is that just one thing after another was being illuminated to my heart, and I couldn't get away from God's word. And it was one of the best days of my life. No, seriously, it was a good day. I enjoyed it. I had things to do. I put them, but and I realized that I was going off on these rabbit trails. You ever get into the word and you go off on the rabbit trails? Why? Because God began to illuminate one thing after another, and I kept saying, wow, oh, that's good. I couldn't get away from it. Now, I know that's not always the case. As a matter of fact, some people have a very difficult time reading the Word of God. And I'm going to address that toward the end. Why do we have such a hard time of things being illuminated? We'll address that in just a moment. John chapter 14 and verse 26, Jesus realizing that left to ourselves, we're not going to be able to do it. So what does he do? But the, say it, Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So God gives us his Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit was loosed on planet Earth 2,000 years ago. Now the Holy Spirit always existed, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But the outpouring of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit was sent, why? To his church to illuminate the things that he wants to speak to our hearts through his word. So he gives us his word, and he gives us the Holy Spirit, the illuminator. God has given us the revelation of his word, but he's also given us the inspiration, which is the Holy Spirit. So you have the word, revelation, and you have the Holy Spirit, the inspiration. You see, the letter alone kills. If you just read this, just the letter alone, just the words on the page, it doesn't bring life. As a matter of fact, it could bring death. But the Spirit gives life. So the Holy Spirit brings life to these words. John chapter 14 and verse 17 says, he is the Holy Spirit who, what? Leads us into truth. So the Holy Spirit will lead us. John chapter 16 and verse 15, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. So the thoughts of God. The ways of God. Think about this, how powerful this is. The thoughts, the ways of God. The Holy Spirit wants to bring them to life in your life. He wants to illuminate these things so you can understand the deeper things of God, what God is really thinking. Because God doesn't think like us. If God doesn't think like us and we're trusting him with our lives, then we want to know what those thoughts mean or his ways. He illuminates those things in our heart. Let me give you two examples, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. Let me set up the first one. If you want to turn to it, it's in 2 Kings chapter 6. I'll give you a moment to turn there because I'm going to set it up. 2 Kings chapter 6, Elijah is the prophet. He's the center of this story that we're about to read. So Elijah, here's what was happening. Elijah's living in Israel. Syria and the king of Syria mustered an army and they were attacking Israel. They wanted to come and attack Israel. But every time they would put a plan together to attack Israel, somehow that plan was known to Israel. So they were strategizing, they were sending their army around to camp at a particular place, or this army was going to go in this direction, and the king of Israel knew what they were doing. So the king of Syria says, why do they always know our plans beforehand? Someone stepped forward and said, well, listen, there's a prophet. There's a man of God in Israel, and he goes and he tells the king of Israel your plans. So the king of Syria, he blows up and he said, we need to get him. So he puts an army together, and the scene is they're going down to get Elijah. So we pick it up there. Look at the story. Therefore, he sent the king of Syria, that is, horses and chariots and a great army there. They came by night and they surrounded the city. And when the servant and the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And the servant said to him, alas, my master. He said, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elijah prayed. Here's what he prayed. He said, Lord, I pray, what? Open his eyes. Open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young men, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around. All around. So when the Syrians came down, Elijah prayed for this to happen. So here's the scene, and let me bring this home a little bit. Here's how getting into the Word of God and it being illuminated to our heart will make a difference in every way, in every day of your life. It's of such value, I could not talk about it enough. But here's how it works, in a very practical way. Here's Elijah, he's a man of God. He probably read about the ways of God. He read the Word in such a way that God illuminated it to his heart. So he probably read something about God and his protection in days past for Israel. He probably read the word of God, which revealed that there are more for us than are against it. He got this in his spirit. He had this in his heart. He had this revelation in his heart. So he had either read about it or through his experience with God, it was illuminated to his heart who God really is. Now, here's how it worked. So when the servant came back to him, it doesn't indicate that Elijah got up. It doesn't indicate that he went to win. He just said immediately, listen, he said, do not fear. How many know that if you look at everything in the natural, fear is going to be there? That's true. You're going to live in fear. Listen, if you look in the natural to the stock market, you're going to fear. If you look in the natural to this whole election and everything's going to go on, you're going to fear. We look at the spirit. So the point being here is if you just look at the natural, so this young man was looking in the natural, but Elijah, not even having yet, he said, don't fear. He said, there are more for us than are against us. He already had that revelation in his heart. So he was able to tell the servant there. Now, how does that help me? I'll tell you, when your back's against the wall, when the enemy is coming in like a flood, when you're just surrounded, you feel like you're surrounded with the enemy to the point you don't know what you're going to do. Alas, Master, what will we do? If you haven't read the word and had it illuminated in your heart, if you haven't understood that God already had said he would be with you to the end, he would protect you, he would be your defender, he would be your redeemer, he would raise up a standard before you. If you didn't know that, you'd fear. But because you read the word, because you were intentional in memorizing the word, because you hid it in your heart, now the Holy Spirit illuminates it at a time when you really need it. That's the value of the Word of God. Isaiah 59, verse 19 says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Man, if you know that, if you've read that, it's been illuminated in your heart, it makes a difference. How about Psalm 91? You talk about a psalm to memorize. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the enemy. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night or of the arrow that flies by day. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. You see, the more you read, the more you study, the more you put yourself in an environment like this, being here today, or further, Wednesdays at Faith, or going into a Bible study with a group, the more that's going on in your life, the more equipped you are to face life's challenges. It's just real. It's just real to us. This fear that had gripped him was because he either forgot what God's promises were, or he needed to be reminded. Let me give you a New Testament example. It's found in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 tells us the story. It's after the resurrection. Actually, it's the third day. It's the day that Jesus arose. It happened sometime that afternoon. There were two men that were on their way to their hometown, left Jerusalem, and were headed back. And we pick it up there. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, said and answered him and said, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which have happened there in these last days? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucify him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, beside all this, today is the third day since all these things happened. Certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, slow to heart to believe in all the prophets and what they spoke. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And then Jesus, beginning at Moses and the prophet, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning to himself. Note that. He was sharing the scriptures with them. Then they drew near the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone on. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, it's toward the evening, dark day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass as he sat down at the table that he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and he gave it to them. Then their what? Eyes were open. Something happened. Their eyes were open at that particular moment. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while we opened the scriptures to us? You see, while they were thinking on the things and the events And in their own hearts, they had desired that Jesus would be the deliverer of Israel, the Messiah at that moment. But it wasn't to be that way. When Jesus was sharing the scripture, the next thing that happened, their eyes got opened. There was illumination. They knew the scriptures before, but the full meaning of the scripture did not come alive to them until illumination took place. The full value of the Word of God won't have an effect on you until that illumination takes place. Jesus was walking right beside them. Now let me give you five things to get your eyes opened. Five things to get your eyes open. What, Lord, if this is so important to me, if this is of such value to me, it's going to help me in my walk, then what is it that I need to happen in my life to get my eyes open? Number one, I must begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. Nothing happens until you believe Jesus, in Jesus. Nothing happens until you invite him into your heart. Or that you're spiritually born again. Because up until that time, you're spiritually blind. How many know we all walked in blindness and in darkness in times? Of course we did. We were blinded to the spiritual thing. We were blinded to the reality of God and heaven and the future and all that he had for us. We were blinded to the spiritual realm. And yet it's still there. You might be blinded to it. That doesn't mean it's not there. The spiritual realm exists. Believe it. Matter of fact, the spiritual realm is should be more familiar to us than the natural realm. So that's that spiritual realm. Second Corinthians chapter 4 says, the God who rules this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers that they could not see. So you have to be born again. I just want to say, we're going to come back on this at the end, but if you're here today and you've never just taken that step where you realize, man, I've sinned against God, and up until you believe and receive in your heart, you'll walk in blindness and darkness, but the moment you believe, that's why it's so hard to talk to some people that are in the blindness, but there's a moment when God gives his grace. It's a moment when God will open up their hearts and they'll be changed. The second thing that has to happen, I must come with a humble attitude as I approach God's word. As I approach God's word, I must come with a humble attitude. You certainly can't have an attitude, I know it all. That'll shut you down. You ever get in a conversation with someone that just knows it all? It's hard to get a word in edgewise. It's hard to break through it. Well, the same thing is true. If you have, that's pride, see? If you approach God's word like you got it all together and you don't need it, listen, it's not going to work. Your eyes will remain shut because God resists the proud. See, there's a resistance that will take place there. So it's a humble attitude. Psalm 25 says, he guides the what? Humble. The humble in what is right and teaches them his way. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your might and lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways. In other words, Lord, I don't have it together, God. I mean, I might have reached a position in the natural where people look to me for a lot of things, but I don't know it all. And certainly when it comes to your thoughts, oh God, they're so much higher than my thoughts, your ways, Lord. I need your help, God. I humble myself before you and acknowledge that I don't have it all together. Thirdly, most important, I must cleanse my heart of sin and conflict. I must cleanse my heart of sin and conflict. I cannot get my eyes open if my body and mind are full of junk. It just doesn't happen. Matthew tells us, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure in heart doesn't mean perfect. We're not going to reach that. We're not perfect, but what is pure in heart? Heart must be pure, meaning that I don't allow the garbage to pile up. So every day I ought to walk in an attitude of being humble before God, but also, Lord, is there anything in my life? It ought to be a daily thing. God, is there sin in my life? Have I displeased you in any way? Forgive me, because 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you. But don't let it pile up. How many have ever forgot to take the trash out? Do you know what happens that next week? Well, first of all, it all depends what's in that trash. But how about if you forgot to take the trash out for 3 weeks or 4 weeks or 5 weeks? And yet there are a lot of Christians that are wondering why they can't get breakthroughs, wondering why the Word of God is not speaking to them, wondering why they're not getting anything out of the service, is because they're letting the trash build up in their life. And you know what happens to that trash when you forget about it? Like I said, if you put meat in it and you forgot about it, you might get by, but if you forget to it, it begins to what? Stink. And let me go a little bit further. There are maggots that begin to come, huh? Now, you all had this happen. Don't sit there like that. You never saw a maggot. But no, really, because you haven't what? Taken the trash out. Spiritually, that's exactly what happens. And I want to tell you, you might not smell it, but others do. You might not see, but others do. But you let the trash build. You let sin. You let works of darkness just pile up. And you can't expect to get something from God if that's what's piling up in your life. Conflicts, unresolved, is a great hindrance to God speaking. Matter of fact, the scriptures tell us in Matthew that if you come to the altar with an offering and you have an unresolved conflict, go back and make it right and then bring your offering. So unresolved conflict. You see, you cannot be right with God and wrong with others. You cannot love God and hate others. It just doesn't work out. You got to do something about it. And maybe you need to forgive someone. Or maybe you need to ask for forgiveness yourself. But you see, if it's building up, if it's there, and you say, well, no, you don't understand. I could never forgive that person for what they did to me. You don't understand. My childhood was a wreck because I can never forgive that person. It's unrealistic for you to ask me to do that. Listen, here's the problem that happens is that it's hurting you more than it's hurting them. It's really happening. Something's happening to you that because of that unresolved conflict, you can't get something from God. Number four. I must commit in advance to do what God says. This is kind of a step of faith. This is where faith has to be applied to this. I need to commit in advance to do what God says. In other words, I'm going to take this step and say, God, I'm going to open this word. I want to read your word. But Lord, I'm about to start my day. I'm about to start this week. And Lord, I want to start it out right. But Lord, I want to commit to you that whatever this word says, I'm going to do. I want to follow through. You see, that's an approach of faith. I'm telling you in advance that I'm going to do what you want me to do. Proverbs chapter 1:19 says, teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Then I will keep them. Acting on the word is bottom line. Look what James says, chapter 1. Notice a couple things. Be what? Say this. Doers. Say it out loud. Doers of the word. And not hearers only. And what happens? You deceive yourself. There's a deception that is set on our own lives because we hear the word. So you might hear, I talk about sin. And the Holy Spirit is showing you something that's going on in your life. And you just hear it and walk away. You got a real problem. It's like the Bible says in James also, this is like a mirror. So you go to the mirror in the natural, you're looking, your hair's a wreck, And, you know, you just don't look. If you don't do your teeth, you know, you have a... But you look at that mirror and you walk away and don't do anything about it. Well, how foolish is that? Why did you even go to the mirror? Why would you even go to the Word unless you're saying in advance, God, I want this Word to speak to me. And whatever it tells me, I'm going to do it. I don't want to be deceived in that. Let me give you the last one. I must ask the Holy Spirit to open my eyes. You have to trust that the Holy Spirit. So before reading the Bible, let me tell you what it's just a simple thing. It might not mean much to you, but it's meant something to me. Like yesterday morning when I went into my study, before I opened it, stuff all over, your mind, first of all, wants to go 1,000 different ways. You start out your day, how many know that you know you want to take time with God, but your mind is already on the things to do list. Your mind is, you just do that. But we have to come to the place. That have to be long and drawn out. I said, here's the prayer I prayed yesterday, because I prayed about it every time. Lord, help me study your word. That's all I said. I said, help me study your word. And then I get into it, and it's amazing what God can begin to do. It's the bottom line. It's the batteries. How many know that around Christmas time, you buy toys for kids, whether your parents or grandparents. But how many know that if you buy a toy for a kid, you better go buy batteries? Because none of the toys have batteries included. It's kind of like, you know, the batteries included is the illumination of the Holy Spirit. That toy is still a toy. This word is still a word. But the word without the illumination of the Holy Spirit is just going to be letter on a page. So it's the Word and the Spirit. It's the revelation and the inspiration. Psalm 32 said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Would you stand with me?
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121. Or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.